It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along with Daniel Pryor this week. Once again, another award-winning edition of the Sound Mind broadcast. Hello there, Mr. Pryor.
And hello to you, Mark. Good afternoon.
Good to see you once again. Hey, we know that you do counseling on a number of subjects, and one of them, the ones that you do quite a bit, is marriage counseling. And this week, looking at a subject of not just marriage counseling, but compatibility in marriage. We always hear the term when people get divorced, irreconcilable differences seems to be the number one reason. I guess that kind of plays into we are not compatible anymore. But you want to kind of unpack what this really means.
Right. Yeah. How important is compatibility? What are the deal breakers? Things like that. You know, I meet people in counseling that have been married for 5 years, 25 years, 35 years, 40 years, and on. And quite often the issue of compatibility comes up. In fact, I suppose that for anyone coming to counseling, and a lot of people that aren't, because counseling probably represents maybe something like 10% of the problem, if that. So the people that are coming to counseling, probably the issue is always, you can kind of shortcut and say they do have to do with compatibility.
Sure.
So how important are those things? And this would be relevant to people who have been married for a number of years. It's also probably going to be relevant to people who are considering a first marriage or a second or third. Or, you know, I've counseled people that have been that could just barely count the marriages on one hand.
Okay.
This could be, you know, interesting and maybe hopefully interesting and useful for anybody in that whole range. There, as we know, there's probably two basic attractors for people that are contemplating marriage. One would be infatuation, and that seems to be pretty important, mostly with the younger people. But even older people that are married or remarried, maybe that you know, because of divorce or because of the loss of a loved one, and then infatuation plays somewhat of a part, but obviously a greater part in younger people. And then the other one would be security. Now, somebody's going to want to say, what about love? But, you know, the love is a mini splintered thing.
Right.
And usually when people say love, they can mean a number of different things. But a lot of our what we call love is the need for security. The agape love that maybe we're not talking about, if we're not talking about romantic love or infatuation, we're talking about agape love, really does come down to care, caring for others, being cared for, and the sharing of agape. So that, to me, falls under the heading of security. Well, we know what happens to infatuation, and people that have been through marriage once or been married for even a short period of time, if you're honest, you know, courageous enough to be honest with yourself, the infatuation leaves pretty quickly.
Yes,
it morphs into appreciation and security, something like that.
But friendship,
friendship, a deeper friendship, and so the infatuation part is something that that leaves pretty quickly. The problem with security, though, is that what security kind of depends on is sameness, unchanging, consistency. But the problem is that marriage is something, it's an apparatus for change. So we get into marriage for security, and almost immediately things begin to change. Could be location, jobs, schooling, children come along. Other things, medical emergencies. My wife and I had medical emergencies almost from the first couple of months we were married that continued on and on. So those the security level went down because things are constantly changing and there's kind of the unknown. The things that attract us together change a lot. The question of compatibility has to do, though, with process. So when people come to come for counseling, they're coming to fix the process. But we know also that process follows purpose. And so what we have to recognize in the marriage relationship, of course, is that we're born again to change, and marriage is one tool, a very important tool that brings along that change or facilitates so much change. So So theoretically, cum de marriage, anything can change, but some things are very, very difficult to change. We have deeply entrenched defenses, and here's kind of where the rub comes in trying to grow a deeper relationship. We have that the promise, our marriage vows, better or worse, sickness and health, and God wants to use both better and worse and sickness and health right. to bring us into relationship right. with Him. And so so He locks us into this marriage relationship, which quite often is not comfortable, and it's changing. It's not meeting my needs. And so, but we're told, don't want you to leave. I want you to commit to marriage and stay there. So we know also that two things bring change. I've mentioned some of these things in broadcasts before, that two things that bring change to us or any kind of change would be a traumatic event and pressure over time. We don't change.
That's pretty much life.
That's pretty much life, yeah. Mm-hmm. Traumatic events. Now, you can't count on traumatic events, and there can be good traumatic events. But
say we need. It's time for a traumatic event.
I think salvation is a great traumatic event.
Well, there you go.
And it's a life changer. But a lot of traumatic events are unpleasant, and you can never predict them. But what you do have control over is pressure over time. But God wants to make use of both of these. He'll make use of the traumatic events in our life, in our marriage, and the pressure of marriage over time to bring about change. Romans 8:28, of course, we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good to those who love God or called according to His purpose. And the poignant verb in that verse is work. All things work, and marriage is work.
Okay, well, let's look at some of the common sources of problems then that
I want to talk
challenge
about,
compatibility.
Yeah, I want to talk about three main sources where most of the difficulties in marriage and problems come from. One would be worldview. Now, I think relatively few people can articulate their worldview or really have a good idea of the implications of their worldview. Sometimes, you know, the word believe means believe or to live by. So a lot of times people will be able to articulate a belief system. But then when you watch their lifestyle, they live differently. And what they're really doing is living out their true beliefs so that we can have a stated belief. But then our true belief is the one that we live out. And so
I would think that this would be an area that you would know before you marry somebody, that you have comparable worldviews on things, and that's one of the reasons why you think this person's okay to marry. They think like I think. We don't find out what that really is over time.
Well, when you stop to think of how the short period of time so many people know each other before they get married, I mean, it's a little bit different when people have been married for a while, or maybe they've been married for a while and there's been a death, so they're widowed, a widow or widower, or there's been a divorce and then they're marrying the next time. A little bit, you know, they have their antennas a little bit higher and they're kind of a little more sensitive, but a lot of times people don't know each other really very well. And the other thing is, when we're dating, we tend to put our best foot forward, and you tend not to see the person in lots of different situations. We're guarded. You know, we want the relationship to last, so we're trying to, you know, trying to be on our best behavior. Once you're married, though, you kind of let those things go. It's part of the infatuation leaves, and you sort of kind of relax all those things. Then you begin to find out how the person really behaves. So many people have said to me, when we were dating, and they'll, you know, it was just wonderful, and he was or she was, but then shortly after we were married, things just began to change. And so that's when you really begin to find out. And as I said, a lot of people aren't really clear on their worldview. You know, they've got all autopilot as far as
what they believe. So is this something you're kind of ingrained with from your family of origin?
A lot of it is. Mm-hmm. Sure, a lot of it is. And, of course, if we read a lot or if people who have been to higher education may have their worldview challenged. I think until our worldview is challenged by something, we're kind of like flying blind. I remember as a young man going, you know, through church and paying a little bit of attention, and then sometimes not at all. And then I started dating a Mormon girl, and she wanted me to go to her church. Now, I thought Mormons
were
pretty much like Christians, except they wore those hats. you know, and some
Mormons
had beards.
Wore hats
the,
back
the little
then?
Hats, you know,
okay,
the little
bonnet
sort of,
or
yeah,
whatever.
And then or derby or something, and they had a beard. Well, they didn't anymore, and so I thought maybe they're pretty much like us. So when I went to the their church, and I started hearing the way that they're what they call their hymns, the songs they sing, and the different teachings, and I started to get a sense right away that this was not what I believe. I just, first of all, had a feeling that this was different. And then I actually began to challenge a teacher on certain things. And all the scripture that I'd been hearing all these years started to kind of come out. I started really, okay, there's a... So my worldview was challenged, and therefore it was articulated and defined. Same thing when I went to Evergreen State College. A lot of that was about just...
Boy, talk about two extremes.
Yeah.
The Mormon church or Evergreen... ultra-conservative, ultra-liberal.
And just having my faith challenged at Evergreen was a way of having it articulated.
Well, people do change their worldview over time sometimes, too, don't they? Or do you think people will always have core?
No, we certainly...
I hope we certainly
can change.
Yeah.
Well, I think that anybody who has grown up in a secular home and comes to Christ has a paradigm shift in worldview. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, as Christians, we believe in the Bible, believe in God, et cetera, some of those things. But faith is not... It's not defined by everyone the same way. And this is, I mean, how many denominations, some 3,500 different denominations and flavors of Christianity. And so all kinds of variance within that as far as people's, you know, just shades of worldview.
How does political views fit? Would you say this is part of a worldview too?
I think political views fall under worldview. I think that your worldview dictates how you will vote, so many things in life.
That can also change over time too. Like a lot of young people are more liberal, more democratic. Mm-hmm. And as you get older and wiser, you become a Republican or more conservative. Mm-hmm. You realize government really doesn't solve everything.
Yeah. So I think that just experience in life can challenge our worldview and cause us to. Mm-hmm. But basically, there are two fundamental worldviews, of course, theology or humanism. Mm-hmm. And so, but yeah, the worldview can affect our work environment, political views, friends, indebtedness, risks, the church we go to, parenting styles, sexual behavior.
Well, worldview definitely part of compatibility in marriage. Making sure that you're compatible. And what really is compatibility? Kind of unpacking that this week on the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. People do need some marriage counseling. They are heard this word a lot, compatibility. I'm not compatible. How do you want to help people? How do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, people call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website. We have these podcasts at the website. I want to remind people that I have an office in Kirkland and an office in Edmonds.
So. Okay, and we will be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast looking at compatibility in marriage this week. We'll return in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal, or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along with Daniel this week, looking at compatibility in marriage and some of the things that make up compatibility, kind of into the area of similar worldviews we hope would make us more compatible. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to continue this.
Yeah, just a bit. Of course, the scripture warns us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Which is not such a prudish thing. I don't know of any couple, Christian or non-Christian, who didn't want to have a lot of commonness, common ground before they got married. They didn't want to be married and be working at opposed purposes. So it's just common sense.
This whole thing of opposites attract is not true necessarily.
Well, I have my own theory on that. It's not so much opposites attract or we marry our parents, but that we are repeating distances that have been modeled for us. Okay. Relationships are psychological and emotional distance, which is distances which I've talked about and refer to a little bit in this show too. But what we start out, we might think that he or she, we don't see things completely together, eye to eye on a lot of things. But, it'll probably work out. But what we have to be careful of is that those paths can also diverge. And we'll find ourselves increasingly at odds and as a couple ineffective and really out of the game. I'm not saying that differences of opinion are not deal breakers, because marriage is for change. But you don't want to go into marriage, or if you're in marriage and you don't want to discount the value and the weight of just different ways of believing deep-seated beliefs. And the next things we're going to talk about actually are continuance, because the three things I'm bringing out here, which will be worldview, family of origin, personality, are really intertwined. There's a lot of overlap. So the next one, of course, would be family of origin issues, and these are also constitute really deeply entrenched traits, beliefs, and values. They're hard to see and they're hard to change. I can think of values that I came out of my family of origin with they were implied values that contradicted the expressed values. A person might say, for example, a father might teach his sons to respect women without realizing that he himself doesn't respect women. And it could come out in little comments that he makes here and there, about the way women drive or the way women think, or they never make up their mind. So like just little things that suggest that the true value is one that degrades and dishonors women, but what he wants to teach his sons is respect. But as I said before, parents don't pass on the values they wish they had. They pass on the values they have, which are quite often very different from the values that they wish they had. Right. So a lot of these family of origin issues are very deep, very hard to recognize. They kind of come into view when we're in a relationship where they clash. So one person's family of origin issues either clashes with another person's, or they exacerbate it. They bring out the worst. Say for example, if a girl grows up in an alcoholic with an alcoholic father, and has a certain value passed on to her, where she has a low self image of herself, and she marries a man who has a low low image of women, he will actually encourage that lower self-image. And so they sort of collude together in a sense, in this downward spiral. Long-established, generationally reinforced distancing behaviors. As I said before, relationships are distances. And these distancing behaviors can be any kind of thing. Humor can be a distancing behavior. Relational distances can be virtually anything that has anything to do with the social engagement or disengagement. So it could be vocational choice. The vocation I choose could be and in fact, when I'm doing genograms with people, we're going back into their family history. They know their family history, but going back into their family history, and I'm saying, a lot of this information but now you need to look at everything as a distancing behavior, whether it's a vocational choice or a hobby or a recreational choice or social preference, what church we want to go to, vices, whether they be, too much alcohol, gambling addictions or whatever that might be. Some assumed entitlements, that kind of they almost look normal until we start to kind of like put the focus on those and say, my personal experience, when I began to really look at these things in our family, why is it that the chair in front of the TV always belongs to the head of the house? Where's that rule? Or a certain chair at the table is always, we start to look at those things, little entitlements that seem very normal, but yet you look closer to them and
Are these things that come out as you are married for a while, or are these things you have a certain sense of these before you get married? You go, okay, I line up with some of these, so I'm okay with this.
I think you can have a sense of it before you're married, but because of the infatuation, usually we say, you know, it's kind of like buying that car. It's got a little bit of a problem, but, you know,
The pros outweigh the cons.
Yeah, certainly. And then the last one that I wanted to talk to you before I get into, you know, just talking quickly about what I do about this in counseling and actually how we turn this around. Personality, you know, it's a mistake to think that personality is sacrosanct. We're not born with personalities. Personalities develop through experiences. They're modeled for us, and basically they are defense mechanisms. I think what everyone needs to know, understand about your partner, your spouse, husband or wife that you're with, or the person that you're intending to marry, is that their personality is primarily a defense mechanism. Doesn't matter if it's a pleasant personality or an unpleasant personality. It's basically a defense mechanism, and that's what your personality is too, basically. And marriage is a process by which those defense mechanisms are supposed to be relaxed or dismantled. So we change. It takes time to know these things about people. That's the problem. It takes time to know these things about people. That's why I kind of am in favor of a longer engagement period. Of course, you have to abstain from sex, but a longer engagement period.
Where does temperament fit into when you say personalities? Temperament part of that too, part of the same mix, like sanguine versus choleric versus some of these kinds of things?
It's part of
introvert,
that.
Introvert, extrovert.
Yeah, it's part of that because we sort of migrate or move toward those temperaments because they give us a sense of security. We feel it's not so much that we think ahead and design that, you know, I'm going to, when I go to social events, I'm going to stand in the corner. It's not thought through. It's just that when I go to social events, I seem to feel more comfortable when I stand in the corner, and therefore that behavior is reinforced and becomes part of a personality.
Well, just even the whole thing of the extrovert versus the introvert. The extrovert gets energy from people.
Yeah.
The introvert people seem to draw, seems to drain them of energy.
Yeah.
So I would think two introverts would probably do better together than an extrovert, introvert, or certainly two extroverts. I don't know.
Well, that's why I say that a lot of these things go together. You know, the worldview, the family of origin, and the personality, because a lot of it depends on how the parents interacted. You know, if the parents were both strong and there was a lot of argument, then a person might be inclined to marry another strong person and have argument again.
Uh-huh.
If one parent retreated, then it would have a tendency to repeat the distance in that way. So it takes time to know this. What can we do about these things? So,
okay,
obviously,
well, let's look a little bit at some basic things to help compatibility.
Yeah. And obviously, we don't have 4 hours here, so we're just going to have to hit.
But these are the kinds of things that you would work on in marriage counseling.
And I can't even hit them all, but certainly communication is really basic, because whatever is wrong or whatever wants to change, whatever we want to change, if we can't communicate, then we really can't understand at all where we're at or where we're going. So communication, and communication is it's important to know how to do that. And of course, there are other things too. We're talking about building trust. What were the love triad? Trust, forgiveness, and communion. And we're just talking about communication, communion right here. But effectual communication always begins with a commitment to protect the other person. And that goes against the grain, because usually when we think communication, I want to get my piece said and understood. But effectual communication in marriage begins with commitment to protect the other person. That's my first priority. I want to say my piece, but I want to do it with no risk to the other person. I want to protect the other person, and I want to disclose myself. I want to be as vulnerable as I can and be as protective as I can. Now, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of work. Again, it's on with communication. Beyond that, it's begins with, before you even open your mouth and talk about a lot of these difficult things to talk about, difficult subjects, just self-reflection, self-analysis, honesty with myself. Why am I bringing this up? What's my agenda? You know, am I trying to protect the other person? Am I trying to learn, or is it just, am I just kind of drawing a line in the sand? Listening is so critical in communication. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Listening to the other person until their point of view makes perfect sense to me. I may not agree with it. It may be wrong, but it makes sense. I understand how they arrived that. That takes me out of the judgmental mode. And expression then finally in word, in tone, in posture. I do a lot of work with people in communication and teach them like communication tools and that. This is part of it. So in to sum up, some things are very, very difficult in marriage. Compatibility, you know, it's important, but we're married to change. And so those things, I think the worst thing we can do is take a position in marriage that there are these insurmountable problems, because the only way to surmount them is for me to change. I would have to change in order for us to resolve this. You know,
and
failing to realize
that
that's the point of marriage. So if you're in marriage struggling, if you're anticipating marriage, got some questions, by all means, give me a call.
Okay. Well, again, looking at the subject of compatibility in marriage this week on the Sound Mind broadcast, Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor. He really specializes in marriage counseling. If you're going through some struggles in your marriage, maybe you know somebody who is, people need to get a hold of Daniel Pryor. How do they do that, Daniel?
Yeah, 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also email me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And you'll hear this broadcast again at the BibleBasedCounselor.com website in the podcast.
Podcast section. Mm-hmm. Okay, another great edition of Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.